over to me like 30 seconds beforehand. He says, "Don't forget the video." I said, "Got it." And buddy, when they finished, I'm up. Sorry about that, but it was a great video. Thank you, Dawn, and thank you to our student ministry for doing that. Yeah. What was that I heard up there? Was that a woohoo? Yeah. Yes. Of all the places you could be today, you are here, and you are here to worship the God who transforms life. So, I want to tell you about a death in our congregation. Friday morning, Thursday, I made a visit to their home. I knew that John Gaffney had not been doing well. I knew he had not been doing well for some time. I had a chance to go and visit with them and pray with them on Thursday. His numbers, his respiration, things like that were pretty strong. But somewhere between Thursday and early Friday morning, he went down quickly, and he passed away Friday morning. So I want you to know today from 4 until 6, there'll be visitation at Harper Morris Funeral Home. The family will be receiving visitors there. I hope you'll plan to just go and let them know you're thinking of them and praying for them. It means a lot to have a person come and just hug your neck and shake your hand or whatever it is. But I encourage you tonight between 4 and 6 to do that. And then tomorrow at 1 o'clock, there'll be a time of memorial and celebration of his life right here in our sanctuary. 1 o'clock tomorrow right here. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. Also found out this week that Dave and Vicki Crawford are going to be heading out to Peru. I think Tuesday. Is that when you guys are heading out? Tuesday? Yeah. So I was talking to Dave about that, I think, and then I kind of called later and text Vicki later. Anyway, so they're leaving out Tuesday morning, and they're going to Peru, as is their custom. After our time of commitment and prayer at the altar today for our gifts, I'm going to have them come. And we're going to pray over them, and we're going to ask God to bless them. And, you know, the tradition in the church is that we commission those who go out. And so I invite you to hang around for that, and we'll take a few moments to do it. On this consecration Sunday morning, our scripture comes from two places, from a gospel and from the Proverbs, the New Testament and the Old Testament. I want to read first from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. We believe that the Holy Scripture is God's authoritative word for life. And we believe that when life is good, it's best when it's lived according to God's word. And we believe that when life falls off the rails, often it's because we've stepped aside from God's word. So I invite you now to stand as we hear from the Holy Word of God. First from the Gospel of Matthew. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And all of God's people said amen to that. And then from Proverbs chapter 3, one of my life verses, one that I memorized when I was a little bitty guy and have had all my life, so I invite you to hear it now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is God's word for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Maybe you've heard the story about the young man who approached the father of his girlfriend. He wanted to ask for her hand in marriage, and he went to him. He was a little anxious about that, and he asked the father if he could marry his daughter. And the father was a little skeptical, and he looked at him, and he said, "Son, I like you. I really, really like you. You're a nice young man. But I don't think you realize what you're getting yourself into." He said, my daughter is a wonderful young lady. We love her with all our heart, but she has very extravagant taste. And I doubt very much that you're going to be able to support her in the lifestyle to which she's become accustomed. And he said, I'm a pretty wealthy man myself, and I'll tell you, son, I have a hard time doing it myself sometimes. Well, the young man scratched his head. He thought about it a second. And he said, sir, I think I have the solution. He said, what we can do is you and I can pool our resources together, and I think that will cover taking care of your daughter. I like that story for today. I like it because it says exactly what we're going to do. We're going to pool our resources. I'm going to indicate what I'll give. My wife and I are going to give. You're going to indicate what you're going to give, and everybody else is going to indicate what they're going to give. And we'll put it all together. We'll pool it all together, and that's what will enable the work of ministry here in 2023. But there's another reason I like that story, and it's this. It illustrates for me that there is someone who's going to put in an awful lot more than everybody else. And that happens to be God Himself. You see, giving didn't start with us, did it? Can we be clear about that today? Giving did not start with us. Giving started with God. He's given us everything. He's made His pledge to us. That's one of the things we acknowledge this morning. Let's just be clear about that, that the great gift giver is God, who has started and taught us how to give. And so we're going to give to pool our resources with what God gives and what all of God's people give. And wonderful, wonderful things will result. We've been on a journey now for a month talking about this whole idea of stewardship. But the greatest lesson of all, the one I continue to learn and receive from God, is this. The key to happiness, the absolute key to joy and meaning in life, is not found in stuff. There are lots and lots of people who look for love in all the wrong places. And there are lots and lots of people who are convinced that if I get more and I get this, and when I get this, I'll be happy. And when I gain this or when I achieve this, then I'll be happy. The key to joy in life is not found in stuff. Will you remember that, please? I hope we've learned that people who believe that stuff will fulfill their need for happiness and joy. I hope we've learned that people who believe that the hole inside them, whatever it might look like, that will be filled with stuff, are people who will be woefully disappointed, because in the final analysis, they don't possess their possessions possess them. But people still look for love, and they look for contentment, and they look for fulfillment in all the wrong places. It's the one who realizes that my life is most joyful when I am helping. It's the person who realizes that my life is most meaningful when I am giving, not when I'm taking. I've asked you once already this month. I'll ask you again. Do you know anyone who's a taker? And when you need something, they just don't ever seem to be able to step up. We know that life is best when we are pouring out of ourselves rather than trying to hoard for ourselves. It's the person who realizes life is best when I'm choosing to help. And by the way, I have discovered that when a person is going through something hard or difficult or painful, one of the best ways to let healing begin is to begin to focus beyond yourself. To go and do something for someone else, to go and help someone else, to go and make a difference in someone else's life. I bet you have also discovered that you feel better about you when you do something outside you. I realize today that I can't match what God's done for me. I realize that, and I hope you realize that. But it does cause me to ask questions like, well, what is it? What has God really, really given me? And I know that may sound like a silly question to ask, but I think it might be nice for us to drill down on a couple of things today. What has God given me? God has given me forgiveness. Forgiveness of my sin. Isn't that what the cross is all about? Isn't that why the cross sits at the very center of worship? God gave His very best, His own Son, that we might perish. I've been around a few years now, and some of you may or may not remember this name, but there was once a song done by a group called the Gaither Trio, Bill and Gloria Gaither. Bill and Gloria Gaither did a song a long time ago. I'm not going to sing it for you, and you'll appreciate that. But they did a song called Something Beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life. If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, they were my dreams at the start. But the hopes for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes, my castles all crumbled, my fortune turned to loss. So I wrapped it all in the rags of my life and I laid it at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. Do we realize today that God can bring beauty from ashes? Do we realize that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but is there anyone today who could testify that God brings good from difficulty? Is there anyone here today that God makes something beautiful?
Amen.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate that. Because it's true. God makes beautiful stuff out of things that seem to be broken. I just want you to know that there's nothing you could ever do that would cause God to say, okay, I'm done. There's nothing you could ever do, and to our friends who are listening by Facebook, I want you to hear as well. There's nothing you will ever do that will cause you to be outside the reach of the God who loves you more than you could ever know. God has given us the forgiveness of sins. I think it was Carlisle Marnie who said, the forgiveness of sin is the most healing and therapeutic idea in the whole world. Because forgiveness releases the hold of bitterness we have toward others. Have you ever had bitterness toward anybody? I don't mean to nag you or to get into your business and stuff, but do you realize that bitterness can harden into hatred? Do you realize that that can happen? No, listen please. They, whoever they are, they may not deserve to be forgiven, but you deserve to be healthy. God has forgiven you and He's asked you to learn to forgive others, because life is better when you do. But not only that, God has given me eternal life. That sounds like something a preacher would say, doesn't it? God's given me eternal life. You need to know that when Jesus in the Bible speaks about eternal life, He does it in really two ways. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. God's desire for you is to have joy in this life. God's desire for you and for me is for us to do more than just exist. Do you know anybody who just exists? Has that ever been you? I want you to know that God's desire for you and God's desire for me is that before we head out of this world, we need to live before we die. God's desire for us is to have abundant life. And I sure hope by now we have realized that abundant life isn't tied to stuff. And I don't need to keep harping on that. You've heard me say it already. But the scripture also says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what eternal life is, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We are all going to go what St. John called the dark night of the soul. We're all going to go through times when we feel like we may have lost hope. But know this. The darker the night, the brighter God's light. The darker the night, the harder the thing, the more you will see God's hand at work to carry you through. You've heard that old poem. I'm not going to say it, but you know that poem, Footprints in the Sand, right? Has anybody in this room ever been carried by God through something? All of us at one time or another are going to need to be carried by God through something. I know you're tough, and I know you've been through a lot of things, and I know you're still standing, and I get it. But I want you to know there are some things in this life that will bring you to your knees, and they will come out of nowhere. You won't see it coming. But I also want you to know today that when there are only one set of footprints in the sand, it is then that you will discover God has carried you. That God has carried you. He gives us eternal life and He gives us abundant life. Just one more thing I want to mention. God not only gives us eternal life and abundant life, but He also gives us His peace. Now listen carefully, I'm about to tell you. We're talking here about inner peace. When Jesus talked about things, He never meant for it just to be on the surface. When Jesus talked about things, He never meant for it to be temporary. No, when Jesus talked about things, He talked about eternal things. That He offers us the peace that's not defined by the circumstances. Does anybody in this room believe that you can have peace and contentment regardless of the circumstances? Do you believe that? That God can give you peace and give you contentment regardless of what the circumstance may be? That's what the scripture calls the peace that passes understanding. The peace of God isn't determined by circumstances. And God gives us a peace that teaches us to trust Him even when we can't see what's up around the corner. A peace that passes understanding. You know, lots and lots of people say, I want God's peace. But here's what happens. When they go through something difficult, they go through something painful, very often they say, where's God? Where did God go? Why didn't God help me through that? But then, let a little time pass, and they can look back and see how not only was God with them in that time, but that He was preparing them in that time for right now. For right now, the peace and the presence of God. Can I just ask you today, do you know that? Do you know that kind of peace? Do you really? Because I can promise you this, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Things are going to come at you that will be painful and hard and difficult. And I just want you to know that God specializes in storms. And I think about all that. And I think about what God gives me. And I think about all the ways He has blessed me. And I realize I can't ever outgive God. Have you realized that? Have you realized that you can't ever outgive God? I hope you do. I do hope you do. There's a story about a wealthy king who needed an operation and who came to America to have the surgery done. But the surgeon who'd been selected felt something of a dilemma. He didn't know what to charge the king. What do you charge His Royal Highness? He didn't know. He thought about several possibilities. Should he charge $1,000, which is far below his usual fee, as a sign of neighborliness? Should he do that? Should he charge $10,000, which would be the standard fee he'd charge for this procedure? Should he charge $20,000 to indicate that his services were worth the trip and the effort the king made? What should he do? And then he remembered his minister had once been a missionary in the same country as the king. And so he called his pastor on the phone and he told his pastor about the dilemma. And the pastor was very wise and gave him good counsel. He said this, he said, "I once met the king and I don't think you're going to have to worry at all about this because he, the king, like you, is an honorable man. So here's what I suggest," the pastor said to him. "I suggest that you send him an invoice with no amount at all. But instead, write a handwritten note saying, 'The highly esteemed king will do the honorable thing.'" Just do that. Well, the surgeon didn't know what to do. The invoice went out without anything on it. A few days later, he received in the mail a check for $75,000. Well, he was just blown away by that. That was more than he could have ever expected. So he went out and he bought himself a new car. And he got his wife and he said, "Honey, we are taking a cruise." And when he returned from his trip, he was going through the mail. And he found a letter from his pastor, and in there was a pledge card and a handwritten note from this minister. And the handwritten note said simply this: "The highly esteemed church member will also do the right thing." That's why I feel good about this morning. Because I believe that the highly esteemed church family will do the right thing. That's what I believe. I started off this month by telling you pressure doesn't work. Making people feel guilty doesn't work. Trying to scare the heck out of people doesn't work. So I've decided not to do that. I just want you to know how much God loves you. And I believe the highly esteemed church family will do the right thing. Now, let me say a word to those of among us today who might be guests here. If you're a guest here today, please hear this. We are so honored and glad that you're with us. We want you to know that you are so very welcomed here. The second thing I want you to hear is that in a minute, this church family is going to collectively make a commitment to God in terms of our resources. But please know this. We don't expect you to have to do anything here in this area. We want you to feel completely comfortable. So I don't want you to feel any discomfort at all. We're simply glad you're here. Now, to the church members, I want to say this. When you came in today, a Consecration Sunday Estimate of Giving card was given to you in an envelope. And if you did not receive one, we're going to bring one to you. So what I'd like to do at this point is I'd like to simply say, if you did not receive an Estimate of Giving card and you'd like one, would you please just lift your hand? If you just lift your hand. Okay, one right up here. All right, Drew, I'm going to ask you to come and I asked you last week to begin to pray and to pray each day this past week for what you felt God was calling you to do. Faith and I did that, and this is our result. And so Drew is going to sing and he's going to play, and as the music is being sung and played, I just want to invite you to come to the altar, to place your Estimate of Giving card at the altar rail, to kneel down and pray, to kneel down and pray, and then return to your seat. That's how we're going to do it. I'm not going to ask that five verses of Amazing Grace or I Surrender All be done. I'm not going to ask that that happen. I'm just going to give you the chance to respond. As the people of God, here in His presence now. At this time, you're invited to come.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift.